Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
1 hour to the weekend. Oh, no. I'm being a bit facetious. But 1 hour left in my work week. Although I feel like I should count going to a preseason NFL game as work. That's work. I wouldn't be going if it weren't for what I do for a living. Thank you for your pictures from Lambeau Field and for your invitations to hang out, whether it be at a pregame tailgate or a Friday fish fry. I'm getting invitations to come hang out once I get to Wisconsin. That is very kind of you. And if you are going to be tailgating pregame at the Packers-Steelers preseason action on Thursday at Lambeau, well, I'd be happy to stop by, take some pictures, and hang out, say hello. Nope, not going to do that. But I can't hang out with you at any other point because the reason I'm going to Wisconsin is to visit 96-year-old Grammy Helen. And it's actually hard for me to think about going to Lambeau and taking 4 hours away from her. So I've just been so overwhelmed by the kindness shown to me, not only by Danielle, who's a Fox 11 news producer in Green Bay. She heard us talking about it on the air, the fact that I was going to be in Wisconsin, and she invited me to Lambeau with her because her TV station does a pregame tent, and they're set up across from the stadium. But then she asked the Packers for credentials. And would you know, the Packers offered to take me on a tour the Packers communication staff offered to take me on a tour of some parts of Lambeau that are not generally accessible, which is going to be really cool. And according to the Packers email, I'm not going to count my chickens before they hatch from their eggs, but according to the Packers email, they're going to bring me down on the field so I can watch pregame warmups from field level and somehow take a video without looking like a fan. Or without yelling, Rodgers! I will not be doing that. I probably won't be speaking much except to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So this is a bucket list item. I'm really excited. If you are going to be at Lambeau on Thursday, let me know, because it's not like it's a regular season game that counts. And so I'll be feeling as though I have some time to meander and wander and talk to people as opposed to having to be working if it was a regular season game. I have to get to Wisconsin first, though, and United Airlines has warned me that there could be major delays through O'Hare Airport in Chicago, so I am doing much praying about the severe weather that may or may not affect my flights, but for that reason, Grammy Helen and her visit, I will not be here the rest of the week, so I hope that you enjoy this last hour of me, or maybe you're clapping, because there's only 1 hour left of me this week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. When I get back, we will be very close to starting a brand new partnership with DraftKings. So this is going to be fun. I did a conference call with DraftKings earlier this week, and they've got some really cool stuff planned for the season opener. For week one of the NFL season, there is a contest that you, even if you don't want to pay a dime, even if you know nothing about fantasy football, you're going to want to get on board with, just because the odds of you winning money are very high. So that's all I'm going to say. You got to stay tuned to After Hours, because there's a very special game, a very special contest coming up week one of the NFL season with DraftKings. And it was kind of fun to hear the plans and to know what's coming down the pike as football season approaches. Right now, though, I'm feeling the misery of some contenders in Major League Baseball. I don't know whose fans are most miserable on this Wednesday morning, but I do know that there's plenty of misery to go around. If you would have told me or asked me if I thought it was possible that the Houston Astros would lose 9 consecutive games at home this season, I would have said, nah, no way, negative Ghost Rider. And yet here we are, the morning of August 15th. So halfway through the month of August, so about 6 weeks to go in the regular season. And the Astros have seen nearly all of their lead atop the AL West slip away. And that's due in large part to the fact that they cannot win at home right now. Justin Verlander took another loss in his attempt to win his 200th career game. He wasn't terrible. It wasn't like the last game that he pitched. It wasn't like the game against his former team, the Tigers, in which he got blown up. But the Colorado Rockies are a team that is coming. They've moved into second place in the NL West, and they're taking no prisoners right now. And so Nolan Arenado was able to hit, I think, his 30th home run of the season. He gets it off Verlander. And then Colorado's, I think, underrated, certainly underappreciated pitching staff is able to make it stand up. And now the Astros have a far better record away from home than they do at Minute Maid Park. I mean, this is crazy. They were so good in the postseason last year. I wouldn't say it was automatic that they won at Minute Maid Park, but you expected it, a major advantage. So 6 weeks to go in the regular season, and because of the way they have played, I know they have a few injuries, but they still have many quality players, veterans of that World Series team that are in the lineup or on the mound every day. If you would have told me that this was going to happen, I wouldn't have thought it possible, but coupled with the surge by the Oakland Athletics, that lead in the AL West is down to just one game. One game. The A's are right there. You don't even need the rearview mirror to see them. And here's where the manager, A.J. Hinch, earns his big bucks.
You know, you try to get these guys to rewind back 5 or 6 days when we were coming off a really successful road trip and we felt pretty good. It's amazing what baseball can do to you if you allow it. If you allow it to beat you, it will beat you down.
It certainly is a grind. We're past the dog days, but even with 6 weeks to go in the regular season, you're talking about guys who are banged up. It's just been a really long summer. And as he talks about, the losing can definitely beat you down. So a season high, 5 losses in a row for the World Series champs. 9 of those losses, or 9 losses in a row coming at home, which is also a season worst. And Justin Verlander still stuck on 199 career wins, which is not a bad place to be, but he'd been so good. I mean, he's an older guy, and there's a lot of pitches in that arm. He only gave up 2 runs on 6 hits. He did have 11 strikeouts, just the offense wasn't providing any support. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Also in the AL West, by the way, this is so sports. Sports are weird. The Mariners send Felix Hernandez to the bullpen, right? After 398 appearances, all of them starts in the bigs, they demote him to the bullpen. He's had a really difficult season, and they say, okay, we're going to give you some time. Maybe it's not permanent, maybe it is, but you're going to pitch out of the bullpen. Do you know his first opportunity to be a relief pitcher came last night in the first inning? So the only thing that was different is that he didn't start the game, but he came in when there were 2 outs recorded. Gosh. And he ended up pitching into the 7th inning anyway. Just seriously, sports are weird. So James Paxton gets hit by a line drive in the first inning of the Mariners game. And then Felix makes his first appearance as a relief pitcher. First time in his career, but it's in the first inning. And he ends up going into the 7th. And, you know, not a quality start because he wasn't out there at the very beginning, but it was good. He only allowed 2 runs on 5 hits. However, similar to the Astros, the Mariners provided absolutely no run support. And so Felix ends up with the loss because he takes over there in the first inning. So yeah, in the American League West, Oakland is the team right now that's surging. Meanwhile, the Astros and the Mariners are stuttering just a little bit. The Mariners are coming off that 4-game sweep of the Astros over the weekend. They're trying to catch up or keep pace, at least, with the A's. In the NL West, the Dodgers have got bullpen issues. For the 5th straight game, their bullpen is the reason for the loss. A 5th straight game that they lose late in the contest. And this one it stings a little bit more. They're probably going to hear from Major League Baseball. There could be suspensions, fines, the last thing they need. This is against their arch rival, the Giants. And at the time that this brouhaha broke out, they were trailing San Francisco 1-0.
The pitch is fouled to the backstop. He kind of hung a changeup. Puig's upset at himself. That pitch was right out over the plate. And Puig, after he finished his follow-through, and Hundley's upset at Puig. Puig's in Hundley's face. I think Hundley's ticked off. And now Puig is pushing him. He threw a punch. Tony Watson now down. Puig takes the helmet off. Hundley's trying to go after him. And here comes Puig. He throws another punch. Pence running in. And everybody's off the benches. We got a legitimate fight going on. Hundley gets wrestled away. He is hot. And I don't blame him. Puig pulled away from the pile. Everybody else is trying to be calm. Kike Hernandez, though, and Bumgarner are going at it. And you know Bumgarner's going to be in the middle of it. Well, Hundley did not like the reaction from Puig.
From what I understand, Yasiel was frustrated and yelled out an expletive when he missed, swung and missed. Thought it was a pitch he could handle, and Hundley had something to say about it. And Yasiel's intent was not at the pitcher nor at Nick. And, where he instigated and said something, Yasiel took exception to it. I think that we all know Yasiel and how emotional he is and how animated he can get. But hitters say things when they're frustrated, when they miss a pitch. And it was clearly not directed at the pitcher or at the catcher.
So that's Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager. Before that, you hear how things unfold in the seventh inning with Dave Fleming on the Giants radio network. The problem is, even if there is a misunderstanding and Hundley thought that Yasiel Puig was yelling about the pitcher or yelling at the catcher, even if there is a misunderstanding, Puig can't lose control then and start shoving Hundley. And he did. If you go back and watch the video, or if you hear Dave Fleming there, he's obviously giving you the Giants perspective. But if you watch the video, you'll see Hundley over the top of, I think it was a teammate, it was another guy, attempting to punch Nick Hundley. So that means Puig and the Dodgers are going to hear from Major League Baseball, because that's what you cannot do.
He threw a punch.
So that's on top of everything else that's happening, with Kenley Jansen out in the bullpen, unable to either protect a lead or keep their team tied. So they're down 1-0 at that point. They rally, but then there you go. Ninth inning, yet again, another team able to score against this bullpen. This time it's the Giants. All right, well, the second time in a row that it's the Giants. And so they've lost 5 in a row now, courtesy of that bullpen. They've dropped a third. The Dodgers are now third in the NL West. And this isn't like last year where the West Division is guaranteed to have 3 teams in the playoffs. There are so many teams competing for wild card spots in the National League. St. Louis Cardinals being one of them. They continue to win, and they're doing it at the expense of the Washington Nationals this week. I mean, this is brutal. If there is a team more miserable than the Dodgers or the Astros at this stretch, it's got to be the Washington Nationals. Because they've run into the buzzsaw on the Cardinals, who continue to win. They've won 7 in a row. The Nationals are now back to 500. Literally 60-60 all over again. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they try. It doesn't matter the sense of urgency or them recognizing they're running out of time. 1 step forward, 2 steps back. Then 2 steps forward, 1 step back. They're spinning their wheels. They're stuck in mediocrity right now. And it's unfortunate because they got a lot of talented guys. Also, I wonder if this might precipitate the departure of Bryce Harper, because they've been underachievers, consummate underachievers now for years. So, yeah, there's plenty of misery to go around in Major League Baseball, these 3 contenders. And then there are, of course, teams that are killing it and they're excited. And, I mean, the Cardinals look like a team that is ready to take on any challenge right now, not to mention the Braves, who, spurred on by Ronald Acuna, who is now... He's up to 19 home runs, but I think 8 of them have come in his last 8 games. He's been awesome. So you've got the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows with 6 weeks left in the Major League Baseball season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence coming up. We'll do. Let's see, what will we do? We want you to hear the latest from Carson Wentz about the season opener and if he'll be ready to play. And also, wait till you hear until. It's Hump Show. These things just happen. You'll have to pardon me. Wait till you hear what Josh Norman called Sam Darnold. I feel like I need to start using this term now. Is there someone around here that I could call this? Probably not. I don't think it's a compliment. It's a little bit condescending. No. He didn't call him rookie. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
But there was no evidence of that. It was a scramble.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Here's Amy Lawrence.
If you don't follow our CBS Sports Radio show account, like it's After Hours CBS, I toss it out there every now and then. You should, because Chris is the king of gifts. I don't know where he finds these things, but it's his specialty, he tells me. So check it out. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. You can also watch the latest chaotic edition of Pre-Law. That's really the word that describes it, just pure chaos. We're getting closer to football season. Preseason action. Week 2 commences tomorrow night, and we're going to see more of the starters. Not yet Carson Wentz, though. We got Andrew Luck back, but not quite to Carson Wentz. However, he's chomping at the bit to be ready for the season opener, which is now not even a month away. So how close is he? Hello, Carson.
You know, I obviously would love to be out there. That's been my goal all offseason, ever since the injury. And it's going to be close. You know, it's going to be close, and I'm still eyeing that date, but it's at the end of the day not just my decision. There's coaches and doctors that really have the final say, but I really like where I'm at, and time will tell here.
It's going to be close. I want it for him and also for fans who have enjoyed Carson so far in his career. Remember last year, he was the MVP front runner, sorry, Tom Brady, until he got injured in early December. Now, Eagles got a perfect happy ending to their story, but man, it had to hurt for Carson not to be a part of it. So I'm hoping he can be out there. They have a great backup QB, of course, backup QB. But he's worked so hard, and he sounds like it's probably a good thing the decision is not his, because he would throw caution to the wind, which is maybe one of the reasons why he got injured. It was a fluke injury, but still. Young guys tend to put themselves in harm's way. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Hugh Jackson wants you to know there is no quarterback controversy. Read my lips. Also, he hates Twitter, but that's not what he's talking about here.
We block out all noise. We don't get in. Tyrod doesn't worry about that. I hope our football team doesn't. It's something we'll talk about as we go. I don't worry about it. I mean, it's not about the noise. It's about the work that we put in as a football team. Tyrod's doing outstanding. Baker's doing good things. Drew Stanford's doing good things. Brogan's doing good things. I just think as a group, it's a really good group. I think they're playing well. I'll say it again, Tyrod is our starter, and Baker, you know, he's our future, and we're going to keep going. You know, I just want our guys to keep getting better every day, and that's what we talk about.
There is no quarterback controversy, according to Hugh Jackson. However, it didn't stop HBO's Hard Knocks from miking up Baker Mayfield. He may be the quarterback of the future, but they love him. I'm impressed with Tyrod. He's been the leader that he was brought in to be. He's shown accuracy. He's shown the ability to pick up this offense quickly. I mean, he is the better quarterback right now. It doesn't mean he's going to be in the future, but good for Tyrod, because as Hugh Jackson points out, there is plenty of noise to ignore. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. You don't often get anything of substance from New York Jets coach Todd Bowles, but he was not having it from Terrell Pryor after practice on Tuesday. So Pryor was a little bit loose with the lips talking about injuries. And, you know, Todd Bowles is kind of old school. He's more of that Bill Belichick school where you give absolutely no information to the media, to the public, anything. I mean, Bowles would be happy if he never had to speak to the media, but even when he does, he generally doesn't tell you anything. So after Terrell opens up and talked about a broken ankle that he had back in May, that was why he needed surgery. He was kind of sharing. He was opening up and becoming vulnerable with the media. Todd Bowles had a very public message for him.
Terrell doesn't need to be descriptive, and I feel he should keep his mouth shut and leave the injuries to me.
Short but sweet. He doesn't need to be descriptive. What was the last time you heard a head coach say that? Terrell doesn't need to be descriptive. I feel that he should keep his mouth shut and leave the injuries to me. Okay, then. Well, we will move on. Thankfully, Josh Norman is a lot more fun when he speaks to the media. Wait until you hear what he called Sam Darnold. Now, Sam is 21 at this point, and he's of legal age. He was 20 when he got drafted, and he is young for sure. I mean, he's a project, but people have been impressed with him. So Josh Norman was asked about the Jets rookie QB after another joint practice between the Redskins and the Jets on Tuesday.
Someone asked me about him the other day. And I was like, yeah, it's like whatever. And it's just, you know, routinely, I'm just a guy. Then you go out here and you see him make these throws. I'm like, all right, that's not so much of a college level throw. He like putting them on the money. But then you go to seven, it's like, all right, pass, catch here, right there. But dog it, this little kid is not making mistakes. And he's like, he's really accurate. It's kind of like, dang. You know, you get rookies in here and you're trying to like mess with them and bait them a little bit and thinking that he's going to throw a route that, you know, you can make a play on, and he's not having it.
Marco, did you hear what he called Sam Darnold?
Yeah.
This little kid. This little kid ain't making mistakes.
This little kid is not making mistakes.
Josh Norman cracks me up. He never just gives you vanilla. Not only does he always give you something funny, but his inflections are hysterical.
Mistakes!
This little kid is not making mistakes. Oh my gosh, that's so good. Now, it's obviously condescending, but as a veteran, I don't mind. I mean, he doesn't mean anything by it. I don't think he's being nasty or rude. He's just like, hey, this little kid's not messing up. At the beginning of that answer to the reporter, he actually he stopped. He was like, this little kid. Huh. I mean, people are asking me about him. But he just said it. It was just this little kid. Apparently, that's what they call rookie QBs. This little kid.
Sounds about right.
It
yeah.
It does.
It reminds me of what everybody was gushing with Peyton Manning when he came in. I remember that. Defensive guys. I mean, Manning in his rookie year, he struggled. And I remember games where he threw four picks and your defensive guy's going, man, he's really good. And I'm like, did I watch the same game? Did I miss something?
Now, did he get called this little kid?
I don't remember that part.
Huh.
I'm going to assume no, because he was a Manning.
I feel like that. The Manning family, that might be crossing the invisible line.
Yeah, I don't think it's like calling a Kennedy this little kid. I think that we stay away from that.
It's like football royalty, but not Darnold so much. This little kid. At first, I thought he said this little pig. You know that nursery rhyme, this little piggy went wee, wee, wee all the way home. And I was like, did he just call him a little pig?
I got to tell you, I would like to see how he would put that together, because that would be interesting.
This little kid is not making mistakes.
Yeah, if he put that into a rhyme, and yeah, I would like to see how he'd pull that off. That's impressive.
He is. Josh Norman is already in the After Hours Hall of Fame because he cracks us up. But this is a new one. I've never heard that. I mean, I'm sure that that's used frequently. You know, just they're rookies. You're understanding.
I think it's the little part, because people are called kids all the time. I mean,
this little kid.
We hear that. I mean, I'm guilty of it too. I hate to say it, but I mean, we do that sometimes too. Like this kid over here.
Little kid.
The little part is what makes it. Then it's all of a sudden like you're standing over him and looking down. Hey, buddy. You know, it's
the pat him on the head.
Yeah, that's what makes it a little bit over the top. Yeah.
Daddy loves you.
Yeah.
Mistakes.
All right, coming up next, Maryland has stepped forward so nobly to take responsibility for what has happened under its watch with its football program. Still so many questions that have to be answered. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you missed my conversation with one of the Houston Astros' top pitching prospects from earlier in the show, it is already posted on our YouTube channel. Man, Put yourself in Joshua James's shoes. This is a guy who's at the AAA level with the Fresno Grizzlies. In fact, had a game last night, and so we had him on the show after his game was over and his post-game responsibilities. He routinely strikes out 10. In fact, of his 13, I think he's made 13 starts in at the AAA level, he's had at least 10 strikeouts in half of them. And he also can hit triple digits on the gun. That's something that you see in every one of his appearances. He's waiting, not quite by the phone, but expecting that there's going to be a call any day now from the Astros. And he said one of the interesting things about being at the AAA level, he's only been there since April. One of the interesting things is seeing your teammates get called up, and then very often they come back down, get called up, and then come back down. And so he said his teammates have, you know, kind of shared with him about the differences and what to expect when he gets to the major league level. And I asked him, how's he feeling about it? He said, anxious. So not nervous about the opportunity, but anxious because you just don't know when the call is coming. So that was a really neat conversation. First time I've ever spoken to a top pitching prospect. And he's only been pitching since he was in high school. And so he's had to learn how to pitch, actually. And that's the benefit of having been in the minors. Keep an eye out for the name Josh James. And also the medical diagnosis that has completely changed his career. I hope you'll listen to that conversation on our YouTube channel, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. As we head up toward the top of the hour, by now maybe you've heard the comments of the Maryland president, Wallace Lowe, or the Maryland athletic director, Damon Evans. Both under fire, as is the coaching staff of the football program, the athletic training department, really anybody involved with the football team. This investigation that's taking place into the death of 19-year-old Jordan McNair is expected to be wrapped up by mid-September, so another month or so. But some of the findings have been released already by this investigative team. It's an external group of investigators who is looking into this young man's death. And what they found to this point is that when he collapsed at a workout in late May, they did not take any type of steps to help him other than just, you know, the things that you would normally do. Speak to the guy. Once it became evident that he was really in distress, they did not give him appropriate medical care. And the investigation has actually revealed that they didn't take his temperature. They didn't apply any type of a cold water immersion treatment to try to get his body temperature down. They didn't follow the emergency plan appropriately. So they completely skipped protocols. You've heard some of the testimony, some of the reports that they knew something was wrong, but it was an hour later before he made it to the hospital, and then he died in the hospital 2 weeks after that. This was in June. And slowly, there have been more and more revelations coming out, reports about the Maryland football program. One of the reports has been a culture of verbal abuse and bullying. And now you've had not only the head coach, DJ Durkin, get put on administrative leave while this investigation plays out, but you've also had members of the athletic training staff who have left the program. And that to me seems like a minimum. A 19-year-old shouldn't have to die for medical protocols to be followed. And I understand that people make mistakes. We're not perfect human beings. There's no such thing. But there's a reason why these protocols are put in place. So if one person messes up, someone else knows. And I feel like being around athletics now, especially anybody who works outdoors in extreme temperatures, but really it doesn't even have to be extreme temperatures to have heat stroke. there are signs that you look for. And whether this was about the athletic training staff for this workout, wanting him to toughen up and thinking that he was soft or weak because he had collapsed during this workout, whatever it was, a young man's life got sacrificed and it didn't have to happen. And that's the part that's so sad. Now, the president of the university, Wallace Lowe, did a press conference yesterday, Tuesday, as did the athletic director. And I want you to hear a little bit about what they have to say. And then I'll give you my reaction afterwards.
The university accepts legal and moral responsibility for the mistakes that our training staff made on that fateful workout day of May the 29th, which of course led subsequently to his death on June 13th. Based upon what we know at this time, even though the final report is not completed, I said to the family, the university owes you an apology. You entrusted Jordan to our care, and he is never returning home again.
I appreciate the university president for not sugarcoating it, not trying to pass the buck, but he's right. I mean, I'm sure there are many cases where corners are cut and protocols are not followed. I mean, we've heard stories about guys who've suffered concussions, whether it's football or other sports, and somehow they sneak through and they're not diagnosed correctly and they're back out on the field or on the court before they should be. That's been happening for years. Some of you have stories of that happening. I've talked to athletes on this show. And in most cases, it does not result in a tragedy like this. But there's a reason why the protocols exist, because in the worst case scenario, a 19-year-old who was invited to Maryland on a scholarship to play a sport, his life wasn't valued enough that they took care of him. I think just hearing his age and thinking about the fact that when I went to Cuba a few weeks ago, there were two families that sent their teenagers with me. So here I am as a first-year leader. I want to do right by these families and by the team. But there was a moment here or there where I thought, oh my gosh, I'm responsible for two teenagers, a 16-year-old and a 19-year-old. I have to be really careful that I make the right decisions, that I take care of them. I briefly thought about handcuffing the 16-year-old to me the entire time, just because the families have trusted me and have sent these girls with me, and they expect me to take care of them like they would care for them. And in that context, it blows me away that here's this young man who's so valuable because he's a 19-year-old. He's got his entire life ahead of him. And they didn't take care of him. Simple things that you can do to, at the very least, lower the chances of this tragedy taking place. I mean, heat stroke is dangerous. We know that. But to not take his temperature, to not listen to him, to not call the hospital before it was too late. I mean, these are all inexcusable mistakes. And it's not just one person who makes this mistake. Somehow, a bunch of different people fail to do the right thing. So the athletic director is Damon Evans, and he obviously is a guy that you're going to hear from a lot more. And he's under fire too, because ultimately this is his football program and his athletic department. And he was asked whether or not he's seen any of this negligence, if he's seen any of this culture of carelessness or bullying or verbal abuse. He was asked about that. And, you know, he said, I haven't seen any of it. And just to hear him talk about how we've got to make changes, it's unbelievable that it took the death of a teenager to get to this point.
We have changed how we practice and also how we train our staff. We have specifically changed how we practice in the heat by increasing breaks and adding cooling stations. I have also commissioned a second team of legal and sports experts who will review the recent allegations of unacceptable behaviors in our football program.
So Maryland now is saying and doing the right things. But it's been a couple months. And it took, what, reports? Media reports? Investigative reports? For some of these things to come to light and for it to get to this critical point where you have the university president taking responsibility and the athletic director stepping up. And this is a question that I don't have the answer to. I wish I did. Maybe if I do more reading or if I go back and I read reports. I mean, I heard about this young man's death in June. There were headlines about it on different websites. But why is it just happening now that there is an investigation? Why is the school... I mean, it's bad enough that they allowed this young man to die under the guise of football because it could have been prevented. But why is there just now this big investigation? It's 2 months later. Why is it so often that people and organizations don't take responsibility until someone forces them to? That really bothers me. I'm not sure if you heard it or not, but Trevor Price was on the Jim Rome show earlier this week, and he was talking about this situation with Maryland football.
The part that's really missed me is Maryland as a football program having a bully culture and a culture of fear. Where do you get off Maryland football doing that? I don't understand that part. Success breeds that. So Nick Saban is a football coach. Nick Saban doesn't have to run anybody to death. Nick Saban looks at his players a certain way, they're likely to have a heart attack. I'm a supporter of the state of Maryland and the school. But where do you get off? Where do you find that you have to have a culture of intimidation and bullying? I played for two colleges, two blue blood programs. I played for Michigan and I played for Clemson. I've never seen that. Jordan Mannaire was recruited by every school in this part of the country. North Carolina, Penn State, whatever. Jordan Mannaire's parents don't have another child. He's their only one. If Jordan Mannaire had went to Penn State, he'd still be alive. That is like, that's the worst thing I could ever say about a football team, about any team, about anything. If my son had picked a different school to go to for free to get an education to play football, he'd still be alive.
Trevor Price, I'm not sure anybody could say it any better than that. Former defensive lineman in the NFL, played 14 seasons on the Jim Rome show. Just, yeah, that's bringing it home. If he played for another football team, he would still be alive. If that's not an indictment of Maryland, I don't know what is. And they can't just have a couple of guys leave from the athletic training staff and accept it to be better. Somebody's got to take responsibility, and there's got to be some way to make sure it doesn't happen again. All right, enjoy the rest of your week. I'll talk to you Sunday night. Thanks so much for tuning in. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.